You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kashevitz, joined by Dick Cagle. And the Royals have really seen their AL Central hopes take a hit just in the past week. They went from two games up to a game back in the loss column, and you add in the suspended game against the Indians and the possibility of a loss there. It's potentially two back in the loss column going into the new week. You know, that's not a position they want to be in. They wanted to do a better job against the Red Sox this past weekend. They dropped 3 of 4. Let's bring in DK to talk about that. Dick, how rough was that series for the Royals? I mean, at a point where every game counts, you know, that was obviously one you'd like to see them, you know, take care of business.
Well, yeah, they went in thinking, oh, we should win 3 out of 4, and they ended up losing 3 out of 4, so that was pretty disheartening for the guys. You'd think, you know, they lost the first two, and then they came back, and the offense was churning again. They won 7-1. They were getting some hits. And you figure, well, okay, give them a little momentum going on Sunday. But as you know, in baseball, sometimes momentum doesn't mean too much. They had a real good second inning, 4 runs, and then boom, nothing. So, you know, it was an unpleasant weekend, for the mildly, for the Royals. Now, they have the White Sox coming in, so maybe they can fatten up a little bit there. But they've got to get the offense going. That's for sure.
Well, you know, Ned Yost made some changes with the offense over the weekend, shaking up the top of the lineup. We had talked last week about Omar Infante having struggles in the number two spot. He moved Infante down. Had Escobar at the top of things, and then Aoki, and then Kane. A little more speed there at the top of the order at that alignment. It worked that game. They scored 7 runs, and the game on Sunday, you know, they scored 4 runs early. Didn't do anything late. But do you think that lineup is one he's going to stick with here for a little bit?
Well, it's hard to tell. I think he likes Escobar at the top. At least Esky. Him the other day, he said that first day that Esky was in the leadoff spot, he grounded out in one of his at-bats on a 3-2 pitch, and he came in and he told Ned, he said, that was a strike. And Ned says, I know. And he said, if that was a ball, I was going to take it. And the inference there, of course, is that Esky is a free swinger.
Yeah.
But he knows when he's batting leadoff, he needs to take some pitches and be more selective. So that was his message. He goes,
yeah.
I think, you know, he only had one hit yesterday, only got on base once. But he might go with this a little longer. He likes Aoki up there, either in the 1 or 2 spot. Actually, Nori has been one of the most consistent hitters since the All-Star break. So I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to stick with this. It's a big unanswered question. He had the cane in the 3-hole. And, you know, Lorenzo is a good, hard line drive hitter with good speed and can do a lot of things. So we'll see. I think and he has Garden in the 4 spot. I think Gardo's starting to come around. He had a real bad there streak. 0 for something or other, 0 for 20 or 21 or a while, but he looks like he's starting to hit the ball. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know whether he's going to stay with that lineup or do a little rejuggle, perhaps, for the White Sox series.
I saw Aoki was a little evasive when it came to talking about adjustments he's made at the plate, but obviously he's adjusted something because he has. He's been so big for them in the second half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he smiled. And I want to ask him, you know, through his translator, what changes did you make? And he didn't need a translator for that. He just said, top secret. So he has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Sense of humor about it. But and, you know, and oddly, coming in the last couple of weeks here, the unanswered question is how they're going to use Billy Butler because
right.
Billy's been sitting out quite a few games. He, you know, he got so hot there when Hosmer was out, and Billy was playing first base, and all of a sudden Billy was looking like the old Billy, and then it seemed like he kind of regressed again, and just hasn't been able to get going. And with these games being so important, Ned says, "Well, I like to go with a hot hand." Generally, that is meant that when he's, at least when he's healthy, has been Josh Willingham. And Billy's been sitting a bit, and of course, now in the last couple of days, he had Aoki in there in the DH. So it'll be interesting to see how they're going to use Billy. They'd love to have Billy get going, but for Billy to get going, he's going to have to play.
It's amazing how quickly that turned around. I mean, a month ago, Billy Butler's on the regional Sports Illustrated cover as kind of a representative of the Royal Surge, and here we are, just a couple of weeks later, and he's struggling with the playing time, and I'm sure that doesn't help his confidence or anyone he does get in there. He seems like he's on such a short leash. I saw that it was funny to us. I'm sure, I don't know if it was as funny to Ned Yost or the Royals PR department, but I saw a fan got into the Ned Yost press conference one night and asked about Billy Butler's place in the lineup or lack thereof.
Yeah, that was actually kind of humorous. It wasn't, like you say, I'm sure it wasn't humorous to anybody else but in the Royals organization. But, the fan just kind of wandered in to the interview room and, questions were going on. And all of a sudden the guys would hear this unfamiliar voice saying, "What about Willingham and Butler? Why ain't Billy playing?"
Maybe it was one of Billy's relatives. I don't know.
Somebody said maybe it was Billy in disguise, but Ned just chuckled, and he did answer the question and said, by the way, that I think Butler will be in the lineup tomorrow. Well, we found out the next day the reason Butler was in the lineup is because Willingham had pulled his groin in his last bat. So. He didn't give us the full answer there, but at least gave us a partial answer because of the fan question.
Yeah.
It was kind of humorous, but I'm sure security's a little tighter now.
Well, Ned's press conferences of late have had some interesting moments. Obviously, he's come under a lot of scrutiny. There was the base running situation in Detroit, inserting Dyson and trying to be aggressive there, and Dyson got picked off. There was the bullpen management. On Sunday, the decision to have Aaron Crow face Daniel Nava, and we saw how that turned out with the grand slam. Ned's just the guy who's kind of always in the crosshairs, and I'm sure a lot of that, dates back to what happened in Milwaukee in 2008 when he got dismissed with about 12 games left in their playoff run. Just as a guy who observes him on a near daily basis, how do you think he's holding up here in the September stretch and the scrutiny? And obviously there's just that weight of expectations and anticipation just with Kansas City going so long between playoff appearances, that kind of takes on a life of its own. How do you think he's holding up through that?
I think Ned's holding up very well. As you may know, couple of the beat reporters meet with him privately before his general session with the media every day, and he's very calm, very collected, very forthright. He doesn't show to me any signs of feeling any pressure or any undue force from the outside or anything. Ned, I really respect Ned. He's a good, solid baseball guy. He has his ideas. He's kind of set in his ways. He doesn't like to juggle the lineup as he did a couple of days ago. But he saw the necessity and did it, and at least for one day it worked. But he's set in his ways. There's no doubt about it, and he doesn't apologize for it. As he said yesterday, Crow is my six-inning guy, and Herrera is my seventh inning guy. And that's the way he played it. And it cost him, as it turned out, because, as he said, Crow gave up the grand slam. But He's sticking by his principles, what he believes, and he's sticking with what got him there. So I think there's something to be said for that. I have a lot of respect for that, Yost.
On that note, and bullpen roles and sticking with who got you there, obviously we know who the ninth inning belongs to. Greg Holland came back in the Friday game against the Red Sox, and he was getting up to about 94 miles an hour, which is encouraging given that he had the triceps issue that held him out for a little bit. But it seems like he'll be strong and good to go for the stretch run.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're still going to maybe let him decide on his next outing whether he wants to, you know, come in there full bore in the tight ninth inning situation, or whether he wants to try it one more time, make sure everything's working right. So I think they're kind of maybe leave that up a little bit to Holly and the game situation. But I think, all indications are he's fine. He says he feels fine. He's doing great.
Well, it's as rough as the past week has been for the Royals, ahead of them is after the series against the White Sox, of course, is the big series at home against Detroit, a chance to do damage head-to-head, and they've got their veteran starters lined up for that. So the Royals are definitely not out of it yet by any stretch of the imagination, but they definitely have to show a sense of urgency here these last 2 weeks. So I want to thank you all for tuning in, and want to thank Dick Cagle for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.